I'm Peter Tubbs, producer for Market to Market. Here is our podcast you can only find online. Being a digital friend has benefits.
This is the Friday, August 28, 2020 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now, Sean Hackett. And Sean, you missed the hurricanes, at least the major impact. You might get a little bit of rain, but nothing major for you. So that's always good, but not good for those in Louisiana and where Laura went. We'll see how long of a tail that system has. But one thing that's come out of COVID is this discussion about inflation. Are we headed up higher on inflation right now?
We believe we are. The virus forced money printing like we never could have conceived of in our lifetimes. The government spending off the charts. I mean, we just have we have to go back to World War II spending to get anything close to it, Paul. So we are moving down the road of inflation. And quite frankly, for U.S. agriculture, it's good for ag prices. It's good for the ag economy. We always do very, very well when the inflationary forces kick in. And so as much as inflation can be a problem for certain parts of our economy, it's very good for U.S. agriculture. So as far as we're concerned, bring it on.
Is that because the dollar's lower, or why exactly is it necessarily good for agriculture with inflation?
Yes, it always means a weaker dollar. It always means that our exports become larger. It always means that when you translate international prices to U.S. currency, U.S. price, it corrects to a higher price level. So all those factors have always been involved in any major prosperous time in U.S. agriculture. There's not a single example of it not being the case. We've been through a very strong dollar for 10 years, Paul, and it's been very difficult for U.S. producers. We believe we're heading into a different arena now, and the virus has accelerated that. So we're actually feeling good about what's going on for U.S. ag going forward.
Okay. We have questions from those who are involved in U.S. ag. They submitted their questions via Facebook, Twitter, and sometimes Instagram. This first one comes from Mark in Nebraska, and he submitted it via Twitter. And he's asking, is it time for puts in the corn and soybean markets?
Right now, Paul, like we discussed in the main show, we would really be focusing more on short-term cash sales. We don't think that this is a time for, kind of doing those kinds of things right now. We think prices are likely heading higher as we readjust the yields downward. And so we just think that this is a moment. Hey, I have to sell corn off the combine. I have needs. I got bills I have to pay. We think it's more of that kind of an opportunity. We feel corn in the bin is not going to be a sin over the next couple of years with what we see happening with a major La Nina and what that typically means for Northern Hemisphere ag production. So we'd be viewing corn in that light right now, not so much from that perspective. So
we have the dry conditions in a lot of the Corn Belt. If you look on Interstate 80 and that drought monitor, it extends from coast to coast. It's spreading and it's very big in the Southwest right now. But Bradley in Upland, Nebraska is asking us, with the current forecast and drought damage, can the soybean crop get small enough to have a 300 million bushel carryout?
We don't believe that it can, Paul. We think it's going to be very difficult to do that. As much as it's been very hot and dry here late August, we had a cooler beginning of August, and it looks to us like we're going to get a break in the heat as we move into the second week and third week of September with some better moisture. So we think the crop ratings and the crop yields will be coming down, but we do not believe it'll come down enough to give us a 300 or sub 300 million bushel carryout. We think that's being too optimistic right now.
However, JB in Central Nebraska on Twitter is asking us, how much do you think those crop conditions will drop on Monday's report? And the background is, the last 2 weeks, it surprised the market as we've gotten worse than what the market thought.
That is true, but the market's getting awfully bullish now, Paul. We're getting pretty excited. We're seeing a lot of bullish sentiment. We think we might be ready for a buy the rumor, sell the news, or maybe a disappointment on Monday night. Even though that'll come down, we think the expectations are extremely high, because fool me twice, we're not going to get fooled a third time, but they may be overplaying this crop condition rating decrease on Monday. We're worried that may already be dialed in, or more dialed in than it really should right now.
I got to tell you, it was a lot of 90s in a lot of that key growing area this week. So there was a lot of people watching to see their crop shrivel in a lot of spots. Bullish sentiment maybe in this question from Brad in Hurley, South Dakota via Twitter. Is the Three George Dam were to collapse in China, what impact on the markets would that have?
650 million Chinese would be in
gorgeous.
A situation.
Sorry, I mispronounced it. My apologies. Keep going, Sean.
650 million Chinese would be in arm's way, Paul, with lack of access to food. What that would mean, it would obviously mean a catastrophic humanitarian crisis, and it would mean the need for the global community, including the U.S., to come to the rescue and try to help feed 650 million people. So it, as much as it is a very unfortunate situation, if it were to occur, it would provide additional buying for U.S. ag products beyond what we've seen. And it may cause, you know, it may cause what you said earlier in the main show, that we demand could actually take these markets higher. Maybe the gorgeous dam breaking down could be that rogue wave, but we actually hope that does not happen, Paul. We really don't want to see that happen.
That would be considered a black swan event. Do you consider the weather events, the derecho, the hurricane, the wildfires, the drought, is that combined to make a black swan in the United States?
I don't really believe that it is. It's a black swan event for Iowa. I mean, it's a micro black swan. It's for Iowa, it's absolutely that. But when we're looking at the global picture, the U.S. as a whole, we don't think this raises the bar to a black swan. The 2012 drought, Paul, was a black swan event for U.S. agriculture. This is not what this is. This is bad, but not like that.
And it's just a matter of how wide that spreads. And if we, I mean, there is rain in the forecast, but it wouldn't be the first time we've seen a forecast be inaccurate. But the heat is the problem moving forward. We did ask Mitch in Hull's question a little bit about if we were to sell at levels. But this next question, we did ask Mitch's question, but I want to move on to Boyce's in North Dakota. He's asking a little bit more about in years past, specifically with soybeans, Sean. Whenever we had a 50-cent rally in futures, it seemed like there was also a 49-cent break in basis. What will happen again for this rally, with this rally, or will Chinese buying keep the basis propped up?
Well, I think the basis will collapse less than it has in past years when we had a strong dollar, weak demand, and all those sort of things. But, you know, we are going to harvest some soybeans here, Paul, very shortly. And that typically does push pressure on the basis, even if the Chinese keep buying. So we would have to believe that basis is going to widen out. But we believe the strong demand will keep it from blowing out as badly as we've seen in the last couple of years.
What's the biggest story here? Let's until harvest. In soybeans, what's the biggest story we need to watch?
The biggest story in soybeans, I really think, Paul, it really comes down to, will the Chinese just buy what they've been buying, which is back to normal, or are they really going to take it up a notch? And because, you know, meeting the phase one requirement really means having get soybean purchases up a lot more than they have. That's the big story. I don't think they're going to do it, but you know, that's would be a story to watch, that if we start seeing the weekly numbers get above what we've seen and they're actually buying more than normal, you know, that could be a catalyst for, you know, further rise. So that, to me, that's the big, big million-dollar question that we're all going to want an answer to heading into harvest.
And I'll ask you the same question in corn. Biggest story between now and harvest in corn.
How low are yields going to fall from the 182? We feel, Paul, and we've been on record has been saying that we felt before the Iowa storm that we would see 173, 175 yields based upon the extremely hot temperatures that we discussed in the main show. If we factor in Iowa, the storm, we think we could actually come down to closer to 170 to 172. And that's what happened in 2010. We dropped 11 bushel to the acre from August to the October report. If we're right about that, you know, then the corn market's going to have to start doing some more pricing higher to reduce those carryouts further. And so that's, to us, how quickly will the USDA be willing to admit that reality?
The reality is we're out of time, Sean.
Thank you, Paul. As always, I love speaking with you.
Good to have you here. Always fun to just fly through things with you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, that will do it for Market Plus. And next week on the television program we call Market to Market, we'll look at how one operation is adjusting its agritourism business plan during a pandemic. And we'll check in with Elaine Cubb as she breaks down the commodity markets. I'm Paul Yeager. Thanks for watching, listening, or reading. Have a great week.